Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. Knocks it down. Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket, and oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill, off to Stevens. Oh my! 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out!
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Coming up on today's show, Evan Demmer and I are going to talk about the Cavs getting the number three pick in the 2021 draft, as well as some Cavs Team USA news, which is a sentence I didn't expect to say this summer. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join Evan and I, next week, but we did one last night. You can check it out in the feed right now if you want to get an idea of what some of our green rooms will be like and get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way that we talk about sports. Evan, Tuesday night, big, big night for the Cleveland Cavaliers. According to Kobe Altman, the Gilberts are on a nice vacation in parts unknown. Good for them.
They're on like Michigan or something. I don't know.
I think according to Instagram, they're at like in Iceland, I think. Because it's international. During the press conference, buddy.
I'm joking. And I thought it was funny. Kobe's like, you could look it up on Instagram to see where they're at. But we'll get into
the Kobe of it all. Because that was quite a very Kobe Altman press conference.
You stole my thunder.
I was ready. I was on my game. Not going to ask about bow ties.
I literally like raised my hand once. I think Marla asked about it, or somebody hinted at maybe trading the pick, and no one really did. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to ask that. And then I'm like, I'll ask about Team USA.
He talked about it without talking about it, I think.
Yeah.
Because
I think I pulled the quote from it during the presser, but he more or less said, like, this draft pick, the third overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft, is going to shape a lot of the roster decisions and rotations going forward.
Yes.
And I think that's saying without saying that Colin Sexton's on the trade block, and I think a lot of players are available because they can improve this roster, because Kobe really stressed that this position they're in, Cleveland can draft a future all-star, and this is going to be the player that they shape their identity around going forward.
Yeah, well, let's get back to Kobe. So they go up from 5-3. The coin flip ultimately works out. Justin Rowan, salute to you for the Kevin Love. Having the Kevin Love WWE title belt photo just ready to fire off the tweet. I really respect it. The bit is just immaculate. This is just like a win night for the Cavs. Like I we'll see what they do with it. We'll see what the summer holds. There's just like a lot out there that like people can like get mad at us and tell me to like cut off my fingers or whatever. With like what's going on with the team and like with Sexton, like some of that stuff is just like out in the ether and like it's not. It's what is there discussing, and like you can last night. I thought the two most notable things. We're obviously getting the number three pick, which we can talk about names and stuff, but also something I want to say for Team USA, which is Kobe Altman like going out of his way to praise Darius Garland in a way I can't remember him doing in his like two media availabilities before. Like, I asked him the Kevin Love Team USA question because I wanted to know what he thought about it. Gave a good answer, gave a good quote about it, and I think like pretty summed up like our take on it. And then he's like, by the way, just so you know, Darius Garland's playing on Team USA Select. But Let's put a pin in it. Do you think
Kobe knows you talk mad crap about him, and that's why he shared that little nugget with you?
No, I was actually pretty happy they put me in the queue. You know, they put me up in the queue a little bit.
They put both of us in the queue, but I took myself out.
I was ahead of like people that are like, you know, are older than me or whatever. But Evan, let's talk some names.
Spencer Davies is the same age as you.
I'm just saying, like, have been around like had longer. Like, usually get called on before me.
Chris, Evan, this is 28
what I want to
talk about.
What are you doing to me today? Let's talk about names.
I'm annoyed that you don't have Joker Baby Yoda on your shelf.
It fell
right
off.
Now.
It literally was up here, and then like when I got up to open my door to fix my internet connection, it fell off.
It is cursed like Annabelle. But
yeah, 100%. This is not even the real me. This is like a doppelganger. But let's talk about some names. So it seems like Cade is obviously going to go one. Like, that athletic tweet that is out there about Jalen Green.
Yeah, they took it out of context. Let me talk about it.
If you read the piece, the tweet is taking that a little further than the piece actually suggests. They are, of course, going to do their homework. But when Cade Cunningham is like, the leak is not like, I want to go somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm only going to be with Detroit. They're going to end up taking Cade. I would be pretty surprised if Cade doesn't go one. Like, that... Like, I understand, like, not doing groupthink. Cade just seems like the logical guy there, and we'll see if that changes, but it just seems like that's where we're headed here. I think the draft, Houston being two ahead of the Cavs and, like, some of the Jalen Green linkage there with them and them having Christian Wood is where this makes interesting. And I don't think Cavs people that are on Twitter being like, worst case scenario is Jalen Green goes two and, like, you have to, like, pick a center again. Like, that's underselling Evan Mobley, I think. But I also, like, I get being like, you got the third pick. Like, that's just a good spot to be in. You can do something with that. That is more important than, like, the name you've already emotionally attached yourself to. Even though last night on our Spotify Green Room, literally everyone that we polled for the pick was, like, Jalen Green. Like, literally every single person in the chat and on our panel.
To be fair, I think Evan Mobley won't be available. I know the Rockets have Christian Wood, but I don't think that's going to stop them from getting Evan Mobley.
Because the Rockets have
some interesting pieces in KPJ, Christian Wood, and I guess Gary Trent Jr. is intriguing as well, but you need a star. And other than Cade, and we had Chad Ford on the Locked On NBA draft show.
Gary Trent Jr. is on Toronto, not Houston.
Sorry, not Gary Payton. That's what I meant this second. But either way, Chad Ford said, if Cade Cunningham wasn't in this draft, Evan Mobley would be the consensus number one, because I personally hate the term unicorn. I think it's just like, you know, you're putting a little bit too much of an onus on a young kid. But you do get those Chris Bosh vibes. You do get some Anthony Davis vibes on the defensive end. Like, this is and he has the ability to stretch the floor. He is intriguing as a playmaker in the short role and as a tertiary playmaker as well. Like, Evan Mobley has such an interesting toolkit that you could build around that, and you don't have to start with the five right away. If he does go to Cleveland, he can play the four. And I know I say they should trade Jared Allen, because I think Mobley's going to play the five. He is skinny right now, but he'll get bigger with NBA conditioning and training. But I don't think Houston's going to pass up on who I believe is the clear second best player in this draft class. And then I'm kind of just piecing through this right now, and, like, I'll remain on this stance. I think three was the second best scenario. One, obviously, first being the best scenario because you get Cade in the best player of this draft, but you get the third pick and you get whoever's left between Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. Like, it's a win-win scenario for Cleveland. And now you don't have to do the hand-wringing of who should we pick, who should we not pick, because either way, you're still getting a good player. Four is where it became a little less than ideal. And then beyond that, it just was a gradual decline.
So I think just for our conversation here, the names are Mobley, Green, and then Jalen Suggs would be the third name that we're going to probably talk through, right? Like, those are the three.
Or Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes is starting to shoot up draft boards.
Three feels like a tad high for him to me, unless, like, something is just crazy. But I
don't know, man. Chad Ford said last night he would not be surprised if Scotty shot all the way up to he was in consideration at 2-3.
I think that's right. I just think, like, there are things with him that I think are, like, he doesn't quite, for what Cleveland is signaling they want to do, he is not, like, exactly what I think they're signaling in terms of what Kobe is kind of saying, and I think what you and I have kind of been talking about. Evan, I want to just ask you a question before we go into break here. So there has been already some folks wondering, like, if the Cavs should trade the pick. This was like one of the discussions J. Kyle Mann and, like, the Ringer crew had on, like, their green room after the draft, which I think J. Kyle's one of, like, the best draft people you can follow out there, and KOC was talking about it as well. I am not a trade down person. I'm not even a put this, like, I we'll talk about this in the Ben Simmons episode that we're going to drop tomorrow. I would not even really include the pick in, like, a Ben Simmons deal at this point. I think, like, you don't want to, like, ruin your infrastructure by dealing this pick. I think this is such a big pick in a lot of ways. But if, like, you got offered, like, two lotto picks, would you trade down? Like, I guess, is there any scenario where you would seriously entertain trading down from three? Because I think I would have to be kind of, like, really blown away to still accomplish, I think, what you want to accomplish with this pick. Like, I would rather just get the guy and, like, If that, again, I think you're going to see something this summer that is going to shake up this the core four that they are like. Kobe did talk about, but like, I wouldn't say is like locked into to kind of what they're doing here.
Yeah, and I asked about this last night. They said if the pick didn't land in the top three, they'd probably strongly consider trading it. But at this point, since it is third, it feels like it's virtually off the table. And I'm not saying it's entirely off the table. Let's say a superstar says, I want to go play in Cleveland. And the team who approaches Cleveland says, it's going to cost you the third pick. I think it'd be remiss of the Cavs not to do that. But like you said, I think it's going to be more so players existing on the roster. It might be one of the core four pieces. I think Jared Allen could be an option if they really believe Evan Mobley's a five and they want to get some capital now and try and capitalize on his strong season, or Colin Sexton, who I know this is crazy, but I've been getting a lot of vibes and reading this everywhere, like a lot of people who are more plugged in than we are when it comes to draft stuff. And Trevor McNaughty always gave me something handy, or said like when people are saying stuff when mock drafts are going out, and like if it seems like it's a real definitive order, they probably have some intel from some NBA insiders and such, or people in the front offices. So at the same time, it's just, I don't know what they're necessarily going to try and do, but I'm intrigued to see what happens. But yeah, I don't think they trade the pick. I think they trade Sexton first, because I think that's their most valuable trade asset.
Yeah, and like again, I don't think like anyone is necessarily like untouchable. Like if there's a trade that involves DG, I wouldn't say that's like off the, that's like something that's like in their untouchables category or whatever, but like the Windsor are suggesting that when you talk to people about like what they might do, I think Sexton is sort of more on the table, let's say. I think that's just sort of where they're at with that. But Evan, yeah, we gotta pay some bills. Yeah, gotta pay some bills. It's time. And first up is our friends at Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room, if you haven't done it already, is, you know, it's now linked in with Spotify, but you know, it was Locker Room before. It was the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with Evan, me, other fans, other Locked On hosts, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Again, we're going to be hosting Locked On Cavs Spotify Green Rooms every week, at least through the drafts and into late summer. And you can join in on our conversations that you listen here every day. We had people that I can tell you, two people that downloaded the app last night. Two whole people, which is a lot, really, frankly, that downloaded the app just to hang out with Evan and I on Spotify last night. I mean, that's what you want to see. Josh Link, Michael Drapcho, salute to you. Locker Room
I wouldn't say hang out. I came in with a lot of chaotic energy and just disrupted the entire show.
It's okay. I love you anyway. You'll find fans just like you in Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Again, we'll be back next week on there. You'll may see me in the dime room on there as well, but you're going to be checking us out there next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, there on Spotify Green Room. Go to get the free app now on the iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow at CWM Rights and am.evan to see when our rooms go live. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, we're planning to go live next week once again, and check out our last Green Room in the podcast feed right now. See you there. Spotify Green Room, changing the way that we talk about sports.
Today on the Road to the Finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason.
Okay, let's go with I think the Kobe part of this, because it was good to hear from him last night. He looked very like stressed on the.
Oh, yeah, he looked.
He looked like exhausted. What did you make of what Kobe Altman had to say during his media availability?
It was a whole lot of nothing at points, but there were some interesting things I gleaned from it, like the fact that they're willing to reshape the roster. I do think he's under the gun a little bit to make a concerted effort to make the playoffs. I thought it was interesting he walked back when he said, our goal is never to make the playoffs this season. It was to reevaluate things. And I think somebody said, like, that's not true. I'm like, actually, no. Kobe said this is an evaluation period. He just likes the energy coming from Colin Sexton to say they want to make the playoffs. And JB Bickerstaff just backed Colin on that one. And so did some of the other players. So it's more of a Colin Sexton thing. But I think Kobe knows what he needs to do. I think the fact that he was pretty surprised, I think, that they got the third pick. And the fact that now that they're sitting in that position, they can schedule a lot of like meetings and interviews and possibly workouts with a lot of these top prospects to get acquainted with them. And I'm intrigued to see what happens, man. I mean, but jump back, like trading the pick. If the Cavs traded up, that would make more sense. But yeah, that's my only other thing.
I thought Kobe...
Like, I got the vibe he really wants to get like one of the top players in this draft because he genuinely believes, and I do too, that maybe the top 3 to 4 players are all-star caliber players.
Yeah, like I don't want to be super hammy in framing it in this way because like I think like some of the stuff I've read today that the writing of the Comey thing was like very hammy about how we're doing this. Like you know, honestly, like don't like just call me a piece of crap, whatever. Like the bow tie stuff, like whatever. Like you know, doesn't really matter to me too much. But what I think is just telling about what Altman said was the stuff he said about All-Star stuff, the stuff he said about like the how they kind of want to build this. It just seems like that if like yes, I think like the move is like likely not to be the trade, but I also just thought like if you read between the lines of what he's saying a little bit, it's not that like the pick is like completely off the table. It is that like it is going to take a lot of value to get this pick out of their hands and for them to do something with it. It doesn't involve taking Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, whomever. Like, there is a very clear thing there with me where it's like, I think like he's like, this is an extremely valuable chip for us. We need to do something significant with it. You know, and I think like for if we're going to put ourselves in Kobe's very nice wine blazer for a second, like... Mm-hmm. Like this is a move that could shape his job in a lot of ways. Like if this pick doesn't work out, if what they do with the pick does not work out, like he's going to be the fall guy for this. Like that is where we're at, and that's where he's at in his tenure, it seems. So, like I think this is obviously a very very big moment. I think this is the pick that is going to define his legacy in a lot of ways. I think it's a really good spot. You know, there are maybe like cleaner, like more obvious fits if you get down to like of what to do if you get down to 6 and 7. But like I think you're going to see roster change. I think you're going to see something. I think you're going to see stuff that is like not insignificant. Like I would not be surprised if like you get like McBuckets and like this pick and like some other kind of like a legit older backup point guard to kind of like be this thrust, and then like they go, okay, we're gonna make a push for whatever the play into the playoffs next year. I think that's sort of where we're headed here, and I think this pick is the absolute thrust of this offseason.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. All the decisions after this are going to be shaped after the draft in July. Like, and free agency obviously starts immediately at, or soon after, I should say. There's a lot of variables and questions. What are they going to do with Colin Sexton? Are they going to sign Jared Allen to an extension? And Sexton's extension also falls with that. What are they going to do? Is Kevin Love going to get traded? Because you're hoping that the Team USA thing, which we'll talk about next segment, he shows out and then he becomes a tradable asset, because at the end of the day, I don't think any contract is truly untradeable. You can find a way, but the Cavs might have to attach some picks to it. Sam Presti, our lines are open. But
look, the Sam Presti is going to like... At some point, we're gonna see. He's gonna be like, "I'm offering 900 picks for whatever." Like, it's just I commend them for trying to do it that way in some ways, but it's also just like you're literally never gonna use all those picks.
It's the long con. He's gonna trade all those picks to Brooklyn out of pure spite and get Kevin Durant back. And just say, "You're not. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me." The Sam Presti story. But
oh my god.
At the same time, yeah, like this draft situation, like let's say Evan Mobley is the pick. I think you change the calculus there with Jared Allen, and maybe you try to move Kevin Love as well, because you have way too many big men on the roster then, and you want to play your third overall pick plenty of minutes and possibly start him too. If they take Jalen Green, I think then you have the conversation. It's an awkward one. If Colin doesn't feel comfortable coming off the bench or doesn't want to or doesn't want to be the sixth man for this team, you approach a team and say, hey, what do you want for Colin Sexton? Because I think the Cavs could possibly get like a mid to late first rounder this year for Colin if they really tried. Because Colin, I think, would be really good as a player for a few contenders as well, because you can limit some of the ball dominance and such too. Because, you know, I don't know. I'm not of the mentality that if you remove Donovan Mitchell and plugged Colin Sexton in, you'd get similar production, but you'd get good production. But, at the same time, yeah, it's just the draft stuff is going to be really interesting. Like, we're kind of slow cruising it for a bit. The combine stuff, like for the media, starts up tomorrow because we're recording this today on Wednesday. And I'll be part of it, and I'll be trying to become buddy-buddy with Jalen Green. Evan Mobley's not there, though. Cade Cunningham's not there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next, but it all really does start with the draft.
The other thing I'll just say is Kobe said, this is, I think, the most standout quote from what he had to say. Quote, it's hard to project anything. You can't say with 100% certainty that someone is going to be an all-star, but when you go through drafts, the first thing you look at, looking for, is that superstar. Then you're looking at an all-star. Is there an all-star where we're picking? Then is there a starter? Why people are so excited about this draft, even beyond the top five, there could be potential all-stars. The other thing that he said was that he basically said like they got to see a lot of these guys in person, which like was not the case really in the lead-up to last year.
And no. He said this year they couldn't see a lot of players in person because of like
I thought it, arenas and everything. I generally might not be like – I thought they saw them in the bubble. Oh, you know, you're right. They saw, like, last year, weird process, but they got, like, 75% of the season for, like, the college guys, and this year it's, like, obviously much more limited.
Yeah, it's mostly watching tape and chatting with coaches and scouts and stuff.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. I'm not in my noggin. I clearly need to drink more coffee out of my locked on mug
clearly,
here.
Clearly you were listening to Kobe.
Well, sometimes I ask that question, and then sometimes when I ask a question, I like fake black out for like 5 seconds.
That's fair. That happens to me sometimes where I'm just like, my mouth just starts going, and I don't know what I'm saying, and Colin Sexton asks me to speak up, so it's all good.
Look, man, social anxiety, we love you. Anyway, Evan, you know, let's take another break here. It's time to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. So Built Bar, as everyone I think knows by now, if you've listened to the pod or watched here in WKYC, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. Just no doubts about it. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel are their 9 main flavors. There's something for everyone, no matter what kind of flavor you like. My favorite flavor, you know, they just restock the cookies and cream. That's not one we named there, but like you should get that protein bar. It's a pretty darn good protein bar. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can also get a mixed box, and you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors to try them all. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbohydrates. Order today, get that raspberry, then mint brownie, or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. Yes, that's LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, 15. And you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is also brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Do not sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the games as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs and a possible championship. Head to their website or use your mobile device now to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, Evan, let's talk about Team USA. Do you want to start with Darius Garland, or do you want to start with Kevin Love?
Let's start with where you stole my thunder, Darius Garland.
I didn't steal your thunder.
I'm teasing, but no.
I asked a Kevin Love question, and Kobe Altman just divulged that to us.
I know. It's pretty cool. There's going to be 3 Cavaliers possibly at Team USA. I don't know what Jared Allen's going to do yet. I heard he does not want to do Team USA with Tokyo. He was extended an invite, and he said no thank you, and it's because of his pending free agency. He doesn't want to risk injury playing non-paid basketball right now. But Kevin Love will be going. Darius Garland will be part of the select team, so it's kind of cool to have 3 Cavaliers in the fold there. And I don't know. The Kevin Love news is surprising, but the Darius one, not so surprising. I think his star is rising. I think this was season 1.5, with like 0.5 being his rookie season. Like, we finally got to see like a full-ish season of Darius, and I'm excited to see what the future holds, and I think this is only going to be beneficial for his growth and development.
Yeah, I think this is good. I think obviously it's a sign that the broader basketball community, so to speak, is seeing something in him. You know, I think Kobe was right about that. I think I think it's like just going to be a good experience for him to get around, to like just to be there for that little bit. Like, he's obviously not going to go to Tokyo. Like, I don't know if I think like he has like chance. Like, I'm not here to like prognosticate like what his chances are of being on like an Olympic team in the next cycle or whatever. Like, I don't really know if like how that'll shake out. But I think like him being on a select team, getting to go on these workouts in the summer, get like some really, really high level 5-on-5 basketball is just really good for him. It's been a weird 2 years. This is obviously, like, you know, he's never played summer league, never will play summer league. This is like a very good example for him to get in those environments and learn. Like, I mean, if you remember, Kyrie getting involved in these was one of the things that really, I think, elevated him. And he got to interact with Kobe and interact with Bron a little bit, and interact with some like veteran guys. And it was something that helped Kyrie, and he talked about how it helped him. I'm not really surprised about the Kevin Love of this, to be honest with you. This had been sort of out there a little bit that this was kind of a possibility for a couple weeks. His agent announced it through Woj yesterday. And just so everyone knows, the Jared Allen part of it, Kyle Lowry like is another player that's like got offered, is going into free agency, and is not going to go to Tokyo for those reasons, which I think is like Kevin Love did this in 2014. Kevin Love has not played for Team USA proper in 9 years is the thing that I think is... It's been since 2012, because in 2014 he does not play due to the Wiggins stuff. I think him and LeBron both declined invites in 2016, if I'm remembering correctly, after the finals and everything like that. Because Kyrie played, that's when he had like they partied on the yacht and people got mad at him for reasons that you can go look up, which are very funny. Funny, but like very Kyrie. And then
Kevin Love, I think, was at its highest.
Maybe.
No, it wasn't Zika. It was
Kehlani?
Yeah, it is Zika. No, it was Zika. It was Zika. No, the virus. The Zika virus.
Oh, no. I'm talking about him partying on the yacht with the...
Rio.
Yeah, but there's a reason some people online got mad at him. I'll tell you. I'll text it to you, and you can laugh, and then we can talk about it not on air. I'm not talking about that on air. I totally forgot about the Zika virus, to be honest with you. Just totally, like, same. COVID has just warped my brain. This is like, I think, a win-win for the Cavs and Kevin Love, because Kevin Love is going to need to go, and he's going to get to shoot a bunch of threes and play alongside like the world's best creators and look awesome. He's going to look awesome if he's healthy, right?
Oh, Kevin Love's game is like tailor-made for international hoops. He's going to play the five. He's not going to enjoy it that much, but he's going to be like coming off the bench like Carmelo did back in the 2012 Olympics or 2012 Olympics, where Carmelo just absolutely torched people off the bench. And like you said, Kevin Love's going to look great, and he has had a noticeable drop-off in quality of teammates around him since Kyrie was traded and LeBron left, it'll be fun. Plus, he can get familiar with Dame Lillard, which is always helpful. It can really grease the wheels to get him to Portland, you know?
Well, this is the thing. It's like, the thing with him in this is that he is, like, this is a chance for him to go look really good. Like, because if you saw, like, the reaction to this, a lot of people are like Kevin, like it's a fair to wonder, like, is Kevin Love a top 50 player at this point? Like, I think that's, like, a very fair discussion about, like, where we're at with Kevin right now. I don't know why, if what I said or what I texted you is why you're acting that way. And I hope it's...
Your text.
Yes.
I respond.
Yes. I'll look. This is, like, a Kevin Love potential, like, quick turnaround rehab value. Like, that's part. I'm saying, like, if he looks really good and Dame has a really good experience with him, like, there's just a way this stuff can kind of grease the wheels behind the scenes a little bit. Secondly, it's also just, like, good for him to play 5-on-5 basketball at this level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has not played a ton of basketball in the last 3 years.
Mm-mm. The only risk you run is him possibly getting injured, and I think you play limited minutes on Team USA. Like, all 12 players play meaningful basketball on that team, so he'll play, like, 10, 15, possibly 20 minutes some nights. So, I don't know. I think he'll come off the bench. I don't think he'll start because Bam's going as well, and I think you start Adebayo and Draymond together, and then you kind of tinker that a little bit, and then you just watch Dame go nuclear from the perimeter. Like, this is going to be a fun squad. It's going to be a lot better than last time Pop coached the Olympics.
Better than the World Cup squad, too.
Yeah. Man, do you remember when Kyrie was on the World Cup squad? And he won most outstanding player. Him and Harden were just, like, absolutely destroying people. That was such fun basketball.
Team USA, when it's like cooking, is really fun. I think there's like games where you could see Kevin start. Like they'll rotate out a little bit, and like he might just like.
But here's, I think here's Pop will be cognizant of like not overtaxing certain players too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you're gonna have like you might have Booker going like from the finals basically like to Tokyo, which is Chris Paul. Well, Chris Paul's not going.
Oh, he's not now?
No, he got in. Woj, there was the Woj Shams conflicting reports, and Woj was correct. No. Here's the roster as of right now. Confirmed to be playing. I think this is, so Dame Lillard, Draymond Green, Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bam Adebayo, James Harden, Chris Middleton, Kevin Love, and Drew Holiday. Mm. Yeah, and players that have ruled themselves out. That aren't going to play would be Lowry, Chris Paul, Donovan Mitchell, Stephen Curry, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. There are a ton of finalists. They include Jared Allen, who you know you've reported isn't going to go. Jeremy Grant is a notable name.
Well, they only have one. They only have one roster spot left.
Correct. So like you know maybe it goes to like a Zion. Like maybe it goes to
Cade.
Could go to Cade, could go to like, I mean, maybe DeRozan, like maybe like DeRozan or Joe Hayes. Like, you're gonna, whatever it is. Like, it's
2012 when Anthony Davis was like not even drafted yet and they added him to the roster.
Yeah. And then, but like, I mean, obviously, the most famous example is like Leitner going on the Dream team, like way back
but
in
I'm
the
saying
90s.
Like, it's not uncommon for Team USA to use their last roster spot on the best collegiate player from the season prior.
Who's the funniest player they could put as a 12th spot? Because I have an answer for this.
Andre Drummond.
Oh, that's funnier. I was going to say Kyle
Kuzma. He can embarrass the Lakers on a national stage, then he can embarrass the United States on an international stage.
Oh, Andre Drummond.
What a year for Andre.
Create some great content. Just do some great vlogs from Tokyo, honestly.
And he is a candidate still because he's still in the pool.
Uh-huh. So is Brooke Lopez. Like, yeah. Plumlee's a candidate. Miles Turner, although I doubt he'll play due to the injury. You got some options there. JaVale McGee's in the pool, according to this list I'm looking down on CBS.
Oh, that is true. JaVale, Kevin, Jarrett, and Andre.
The Olympic team. Let's go, JaVale. I want Olympic JaVale.
I do, too. Olympic gold medalist JaVale McGee. And
Olympic gold medalist and noted like crypto enthusiast and stock trader JaVale McGee.
Him and Torian Prince, man. God, I'd love to have Torian to talk about stocks and crypto one day.
Lamar Stevens is also like somewhat into like investment according to his Instagram. Who knew? Anyway, must be that great Penn State education that he got, you know? Because obviously Bill D. Flip also just really big into the bonds. Anyway, that is going to be it for today's show. Thanks again to Built Bar, to Bet Online, to Spotify Green Room for sponsoring the show. Thanks to all the great sponsors. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about everyone's most coveted piece this summer, Ben Simmons. Brian Toporek, I did a mock negotiation with him, so that'll be as the last thing on the show. But Evan and I are just going to talk about Ben Simmons for 20-something minutes and figure that out a little bit. But again, the Cavs are picking third overall. Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, probably the three names we need to think about the most. We'll probably get some great guests on to break down these guys and break down this whole draft and see where the Cavs are going to go from here. It's a little over a month away. It's going to be a quick sprint to it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you're tuned in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Evan. For me, for Evan, this has been Locked On Cavs for Wednesday, June 23rd. Back tomorrow again, talking about Ben Simmons. Talk to you then.